Let us center together. God of love and power, we know that you are with us and you are for us. Break through into our lives and into your church. Break through our fears and replace them with faith. You are the God who breaks down every barrier, and we trust that your Spirit will break through in us, in our lives, in the life of our church, and in our community. Fill us with the grace, mercy, and power of Jesus. Help us to discern where your Spirit is leading. Open doors that lead us into a new season of faithfulness and fruitfulness for your kingdom. Give us faith and courage to step through the doors that you open. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Concordia. We're happy that you are all here to worship this morning. I hope that you would sign the attendance pads that you'll find in each pew in towards the middle aisle this morning, please. There are a number of announcements in the bulletin this morning, and I'll highlight a few. There's quite a few meetings happening in the next 3 days, so please note that right after the service this morning, there will be a stewardship meeting, and also this evening at 5 is the nurture meeting. Tonight's Youth fellowship has been canceled. Tomorrow night at 7, there's the trustees meeting, and Tuesday at 6:30, the finance meeting. One item that's not in the bulletin is the Black Hawk United Methodist Church annual fall fundraiser, and that will be Saturday, the 6th of October, the Lord's Acre. Are there other announcements this morning? You want to come up?
An announcement about the upcoming bazaar. It's just now 1 month away, so we're kind of on the countdown. It'll be November 3rd. And I just wanted to highlight a couple of things where y'all can be of help with this. Check out the chimes, because there is a page that mentions some ways you can be helpful with the bazaar. Any craft items that you're working on, we could always use more crafts. Those work on all this month and bring them the last week in October to the church. You can contribute a gift card towards the gift basket drawing. Baked goods, we could always use more baked goods. I know Rosie does lots of those, but we can always use lots more baked goods for that. And then this year, we're also going to have a harvest area, so any of you that have pumpkins, gourds, squash, whatever, do contribute that also to the bazaar. We want to start our advertising campaign for that. So this morning we have prepared some of these little slips that if you would take a bunch of those and just wherever you are, leave them behind or give them to your friends, you know, leave them at your hairdressers, leaving at the hardware store, wherever you go, just leave some of these behind. It's like that little rock that people find in strange places where you can put these things out and about too. And somebody will be at the back of the church passing out these little packets. Thank you.
Any other announcements this morning? Yes. Okay, that was an announcement that there is no one signed up currently for coffee hour next week, so we ask that someone take that opportunity to serve. Any others? Let's join together then in singing Song of Hope. It's in the Black Hymnal number 2186. Around you, see your sisters and your brothers. It's a great day to be here.
There are so many things you can do to serve the Lord.
Just listen for God's call to you. Let God guide your life.
We are willing to open our lives to God's service.
Let's sing Song of Hope again. Please continue standing and we'll sing God of Grace and Glory in the red hymnal number 577. Let us pray. O God of hope, we ask for eyes to see you today. In the soft hues of morning light, shine out the glory of your presence. In the living power of your word, speak anew in ways that reshape our longings and our lives. Over the clash of the world's empires, let us hear the echoes of your coming kingdom. We would be encountered by you today and so shaped that as we live this week, others would encounter you through us. Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Heidi's going to be reading about prayer. And do you pray? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say night prayers. Sometimes we say prayers before meals. We pray in church. Sometimes we pray that God will help us pass a test. If we have a test in school, do you ever do that one? No. Okay, so you're doing well without having to pray for it. That's pretty good. Did you get our prayer that we've been a few weeks ago? You got that. Okay. Do you know that there's someone here, not in the church this morning, but someone sets his alarm clock at 5:50 every morning so that he can get up and say the prayer. I set my alarm clock for 5:55 every morning with the intention of getting up to pray. But I have a commitment to pray at 5:55 in the afternoon. And that one I do. At 5:55 in the morning, I always say, I'll do it at 5:55 this afternoon. You know why I'm talking about this particular prayer? Because I want to remind everyone, you're not the only one who's listening to me this morning, okay? I want to remind everyone to use that prayer for our church, either in the morning or in the evening, I don't care which. And we're praying that God will do something new here. Do you think we need anything new in this church? I'm not talking about we don't need a new door to go out of. We don't need a new fellowship hall. Those things we're in good shape with. But there's some other things that we need. Would it be nice to have more children up here on Sunday morning? Maybe? Or do you like being alone? Sort of both. Okay, good. So you're not uncomfortable with me then. You know something? I remember the first Sunday I was here, you were between 2 and 3 years old. And I was so amazed because you spoke so well. You were able to answer questions that I was asking. And you weren't shy at all about it. And that's one of the ways that I remember you. And I think that's cool. Let's go back to prayer. Let me tell you, the person who is praying at 5:55 every morning is one of our confirmation kids. I think that's pretty cool. We'd like to hear some more things about what's happening because of prayer. So if anyone would like to say anything about prayer, they are welcome to do that at the beginning of worship service each week when we ask for announcements and we ask for blessings. Anyone's free to do that. So I'm just knowing for sure that God's going to speak to you somehow as you do that prayer, and God's going to do something new. We can only wait to find out what that is. Thank you, God. Amen.
Our first scripture this morning is from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Our gospel reading is from Mark, chapter 9, verses 33 through 50. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another."
I hear there's someone else who's going to be preaching this morning. Would you like me to bring this to you? Got to use a mic.
Can you hear me now? Good morning. To Pastor Doris and to my fellow Christian congregation. To the Men's Breakfast Club, which I have been going to since I come here, I say thank you. It's a great group to be with, and I encourage any man in this membership to come. We have great camaraderie, and it's a pleasure to be with the group. From Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. from the Bible, the Disciple Bible Study Group, I learned a lot to be thankful, to honor and obey. We ended the study by critiquing each other. It was very interesting to hear what other people had to say about me. The past 7 months I've been here, I didn't realize that people cared so much. And I appreciate the responses. And thank you. It is an honor and a joy to worship with beautiful people. In my closing, I read from Matthew 5, chapter 14 through 16. We are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The word of the Lord. And as Red Skelton used to say when he closed his programs, I don't know how many of you remember that, but he said, God bless, and I mean it from my heart. Thank you.
In the reading from Mark today, we are kind of given a sandwich. On the beginning of the reading, Jesus is speaking about how it is that we treat the little ones among us. And he gives us a very strong visual in that he takes the children upon his lap. And at the end of the reading, we again have the concern, he raises a concern that we always welcome the little ones and the responsibility that we have in that. And in between these two pieces of bread, there is some meat that we struggle with in our day just as much as those first followers of Jesus struggled. Jesus is talking about being inclusive and welcoming on both sides. And the disciples see some guy who's casting out evil in Jesus' name, but he's not one of them, so we don't want them to do that. We don't want that guy to be acting in the way that Jesus is empowering us to act. They make sure Jesus sees it. And they are rebuked again. How can someone who, Jesus is saying, uses my name to do good, to offer healing or wholeness, how can that one then turn around and curse Jesus? In this day, as much as in the early day, we are in the church about excluding people. Throughout the centuries, we've picked different groups to exclude. And throughout the two centuries, the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus has shown us how we need to welcome all of the children. Now, for a time, those children have been African American slaves. And for a time, we've tried to exclude half of the population. Our church is struggling with that again now. Who are we going to welcome? And who is going to be kept out? The General Conference that's going to be held next February is something that weighs heavily on me. I don't know, and actually not very many of us know, how the congregations feel about this discussion. What I do know is that those who are most vocal have been almost as violent in their language as are the leaders of our nation right now. I think that we are facing, the church and our nation, we are facing another civil war. That we are so divided in who we want to be inclusive of and who we want to be exclusive of, that we have difficulty speaking with one another. I know a brother and a sister. She went to a liberal college and is a strong feminist about what is right and what is wrong. And he is active in a church that is in the process of deciding whether women can sit on boards in the church and have the ability to make decisions. The relationship between the siblings needs to be more important. Than either side with which they struggle. It's everywhere. Where will it end? When will it end? We want to shout out, that's enough. Everyone go back to square one. Let's start this all over again. And as we seek to start all over again, we need the example of Jesus. In Jesus, God became one of us, was tempted in every way like each of us, but did not give to temptation. So Jesus gives us a chance to start over again and to be transformed through forgiveness. He gives us the opportunity to be reconciled through grace. And God's grace is so much bigger than any of our grace can be. We keep thinking that grace is something that we earn. And we think that, what tells me that we think that way is that when we have been injured, there needs to be, we decide that there's a standard to be met before we can give that grace. And God, that's not God's grace. We want to somehow separate what our lives are from all that bombards us. We want to be people of courage, and we want to be people who have integrity, and Jesus calls us to that. He calls us to live by the kingdom's standards rather than the standards that we meet every day. Because if what is before us is not healthy or being healed or moving toward wholeness or generosity or goodness, that's not a kingdom standard. Jesus is the example that we need in our lives daily, and Jesus also is the direction that we need. The difficulties that we face and the difficulties that the first disciples faced, that has been constant through time. We would have thought that, you know, in the beginning, they had Jesus right there, they would have gotten it right, they would have taken what he said and lived it out. And even they didn't get it all the time. That's that frailty of our humanity. Perhaps Jesus saw the exclusion of that person who was casting out demons. Perhaps Jesus saw that as a slippery slope that we can go down. Because if we start excluding, where do we stop? I tell you, if y'all were going to be living up to my standards, I'd be alone. And I'm sure you can say the same. If the people around us are all going to live up to our standards and we expect that to happen, we're all going to be alone. And so we have the standards that Jesus set. Who's on our side? Are they against us or are they for us? What if they don't believe everything that I believe? There's a Facebook page. It's a closed Facebook page for pastors, United Methodist pastors. And we can pose our questions on there. Now, our questions about ministry practices. We cannot post how we feel about the general conference that's coming up. We've got some good monitors on that wipe that stuff off immediately when it goes there. That's not the purpose of this. But there was a question raised yesterday, and that is for a millennial couple is coming to have their child baptized. And this millennial couple is a little bit uncomfortable with the liturgy that we use. So is there some way, they were asking, if that could be kind of updated so that it's more appealing to them. They're willing to make the commitment, but they just don't like the words. This conversation among my clergy colleagues was mostly about excluding them then. If we can't say it the way we've always said it, let them go someplace else. If we can't say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we baptize, they're not baptized. If we say Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, that's not baptism. Among us who are called to a higher standard, we cannot agree. This is old stuff. And Jesus reminds us that if we become a stumbling block, then we would be better off to take our eye out or cut our hand off. I think that the little ones in that conversation might be the millennials. Jesus has great concern for the little ones. So we also need the vision that is Christ's vision for this church, for this world. And remember, Christ's vision was loving your enemy. Christ's vision was turning the other cheek, forgiving those who sin against us. Christ's vision was showing no partiality, being honest, living with integrity, living with faithfulness, bearing our own cross. And Christ is saying that these are not options for us. They're the order of the day. It's how we live. One of the blessings that we have from Jesus as well has to do with taking one another's inventory. Because as long as we've got that twig in our eye, as long as we're not seeing clearly, we dare not judge others. The good news for us in this Word of God today is that I don't have to look at you and make judgments about your life. I don't have to decide what kind of Christian you are and what your commitment is to Jesus Christ. I have to do that for myself. I have to hear this standard that Jesus spoke to us, and I have to try to live that as faithfully as possible in my life. And that's on you as well. We don't need to judge one another. I judge myself more harshly than any of you could judge me. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Show no partiality. Be honest. Forgive those who sin against you. Live with integrity. That's what I am called to live. And I understand that to be the calling for all of those who follow Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is on our side? And that he's offering to us the love of God, a love that gives us all that we have, a love that makes us all that we are, and even though we fail from time to time, God continues to be with us. The generosity of Christ calls us to live lives of gratitude as well. I invite the ushers to come. You each give one to Tom. You give one to Tom. You go this way. Yep. We will be singing just the each section of the Give Thanks one time. Let us pray together. Giving God, your generosity is amazing grace. When we are in need, you are at our side, present to us even in our darkest moments. Make us into a people who celebrate your goodness, drawing others into the celebration of your many blessings. Receive our offerings as a drink for someone who thirsts. Transform them that your kingdom comes here and now on earth. In the name of Jesus, your greatest gift. Amen. You may be seated. I've been asked to, we want to ask prayers for Julius Halterman. He is Joanne's uncle, Joanne Budd's uncle. He's 98 years old, and he has had a stroke. He seems to be recovering well from it, but prayers for him. And you all may know Roxanne Grindy. Some of you may know her. Her husband was a teacher at the school here for many years. She has been diagnosed with breast cancer and will have surgery on Wednesday of this week. So are there other people or situations? Let us pray. Gracious God, through Jesus, we hear that you want us to be salt, to add savor and flavor to the world. We are reminded that we cannot be bland witnesses to your love, only working when it's convenient or doing work that is convenient. When we lose our saltiness, it cannot be regained. So keep us a salty people. Give us courage and joy in our service to you. Help us to be people who clear the pathways to service rather than being stumbling blocks. So many are called to serve you. Help us to serve willingly, to work with others, rejoicing in what you call us to become. Let Jesus' words be the core of our being. Help us to put our faith in no other power than your saving love. Make us agents of your love, helping people to be in your presence and to know and continue to learn of love and grace, and give us confidence and give us joy in all that we do. We offer our lives to you. We offer our care to those who are in pain, those who are injured, those who need healing. We offer ourselves to those who are grieving, to those who are facing big changes in their lives. We offer ourselves to you, that through our lives, those around us would know grace and thankfulness. Use us, O God. We pray in Jesus' name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And would you turn to 7:12, I sing a song of the saints of God. I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and may the peace of God so settle on your soul that in the silence of faith you may hear God, our Creator, rejoicing over you with singing. Go in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.